welcome to the Bring the Wood podcast. It's your boy RK rocking with
JD.
We're back.
Yeah, it's been how long, man? The wood has gotten soft around here.
Oh man, it's back like it's back like we left something. Yeah, man. Lots going on for us, I guess. That's why we haven't been doing this for a while, but not lots going on in the offseason for the Saints. This has been one of the quieter off seasons, I think, that we've probably had since Sean Payton's been the head coach. What do you think?
I agree. It's been very, very quiet. I don't know if we've made any transactions at all, but I'm looking at this roster on my screen. It says last updated May 18th. So we know for sure that there's been nothing that's changed since then. It just seems like maybe that's a good thing with the uncertainty heading into the year with a new quarterback, you know, situation. Maybe less is more this time around.
Yeah, and like you talk about the roster kind of staying stagnant. That means either, A, we're stuck with this roster because of financial misspending over the years, mm-hmm. Or Sean really likes this roster. Sean and Mickey really like this roster, and they think that they can win with this roster. I think, for my opinion, I think that they would have probably signed a corner by now. You know, and you hear a lot of the talking heads. You hear Nick wanting Gerrion Conley. You hear Ross wanting, you know, Richard Sherman and a bunch of other people wanting, you know, Steven Nelson. And to me, I don't know if those guys are really an upgrade over anything that we have in the building. I think they got this. Mm-hmm. I think the Saints are really, if there's one thing Sean's been known for, it's the ability to find diamonds in the rough. And we have yet to find a real solid one. We thought Ken Crawley was that guy, and then he kind of reverted back to, you know, his status of who he was as a player, and that's why he wasn't drafted and all those other things. But Grant Haley, Keith Washington, like, there might be something there with those guys because Sean might have found a diamond in the rough with those guys, which kind of leads us into what we're going to do in this episode. This episode, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go through all the players that we think are going to make this roster. We haven't done any kind of prep on this. We're just going to look for the roster. And, you know, for the no-brainers, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time. But for the other guys, let's think about where they rank, you know, in the NFL hierarchy of their position. And then where they rank on the Saints hierarchy of their position. Because that kind of gives you an idea of whether or not they're going to be able to play and contribute for us this year. So we can get Michael Thomas out the way. He's the second or third best wide receiver in the NFL. I'm not interested in all the conversation by other people, you know, placing him at 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. I get it. He was injured last year. You cannot forget about a person that's that talented. It's like saying Antonio Brown's not skilled. Yes, he is still skilled. He is still a beast out there. So, yeah, any thoughts on Michael Thomas, or are we just going to move on?
I just hope that Dak has, you know, even 80% of his record picking here, a huge upgrade over what we had from him last year, right? So he doesn't got to come back, you know, and be 100%, you know, 149 catches and just give us 110, which is still a lot.
Yeah.
Give us, you know, the 1,400 yards and 8 touchdowns, and that's kind of the you know, year I expect from Michael Thomas.
Well, it's 17-game season again. Remember that.
Oh, yeah. So then I guess give me 116 receptions then, I think, you know, Jameis Winston, if he becomes our eventual starter, that will benefit Michael Thomas in a way that he can kind of stretch the field and not rely on those shorter routes that he became so well known for, right? And kind of notorious in some cases, but also, but very, like, what's the word? Very consistent in that, too. And that's why he had the record he had.
Yeah.
Consistently. So,
yeah.
I think Jameis and Michael Thomas was a good connection, I'm hoping. And at that point, he should have the year that we expect him to have. So,
yeah. Well, I'm going to rattle off. I'm going to go through our offensive line studs because I think that they're the top of their position in the league. And I don't think there's really much to talk about just to speed through those guys. But Teron Armstead, Eric McCoy, and Ryan Ramczyk, I think those three guys, those are all guys that are in the top five of their position in the NFL. I don't think that's to be debated. I think they get enough clout by other people. I know McCoy is sliding under the radar a little bit, but we've seen the positives from him. So those three guys we don't really need to spend much time about. But what about Andres Pete? How do you feel about Andres Pete?
Man, I just hope that he can like elevate his game a little bit more than what he's been showing, you know. And after he got paid, he still wasn't playing like the man that we paid to play that way. So hopefully, you know, this offseason he's a chance to get himself stronger, healthier, and you know, more mentally consistent, because I think that's where his downfall is in the mind, right? Physically speaking, he's a lot of going on size wise and speed wise for his position, but in terms of like the mental part of the game, I think he gets so down on himself. He doesn't have that short term, like what they call it, amnesia, right? He needs to have amnesia in NFL.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that. So hopefully he can, like, you know, somehow focus himself, get himself a Zen master or something, and then figure out how to become mentally strong, because that's the only downside to this game, I think, is when he gets beat, he's beat for the game. So if he can play physically, we know he's able to, then I think putting him in between, you know, McCoy and Teron Armstead on the left side, that's a huge piece to have as a consistent part of an O-line. And we know that Sean Payton's O-line is always, you know, kept together for that reason, because consistency is so key there. So, but let's hope he has a better year than last year. And if that's what happens, then any improvements could improve for him. So,
yeah, I think that I have nothing really to add to that. I think you're right on there. He could be an absolute gem, or it can be a bust. Like, he could go out and earn his money this year and find he hasn't been healthy for a year. So let's see if he could stay healthy for a year. I know it's really unlikely. I get it. But the opportunity for him to be healthy, he might actually play better. And that might be something that would get the Saints fans off his back. Cesar Ruiz, kind of following in the same mold as Andres Pete. I'll let you go first on Cesar.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough of him to know exactly what he can bring to the table, right? So I'm hoping that he just kind of plays, you know, his first round pick projection. Hope it kind of shines through a little bit more, and he can contribute, you know. And I think having Ramczyk on his right and again McCoy on his left gives him some security to make a mistake or two, as he will.
Yeah.
But hopefully the mistakes come few and far between for this guy, because he's got obviously some potential there, and we didn't take him in the first round without knowing something about him. So hopefully he plays that, and just kind of solidifies the whole right side, because we need to get runs on both sides and protection for Jameis, so we can make the proper choices with the ball in the time. So yeah. hopefully he does his job, man. That's all.
Yeah.
Do your job.
There's something to be said about Cesar Ruiz having an opportunity to be a star this year, actually. And I say star without misusing the word. He changed positions with no offseason and got thrust into a position that he hasn't played since high school at the NFL level as a starter, protecting a very, I would say, you know, sure-footed but not fast or athletic Drew Brees that likes to step up in the pocket. He's just a tick slower than Eric McCoy. And I think that being said, we could see something really special with Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz in year two together, because those guys are so athletic. So, you know, hype up Alvin Kamara and the run game this year and the screen game, because those two guys could be beasts. And I'm not ready to throw the towel in on Cesar Ruiz just yet. For the rest of the offensive line, like, I know that they're probably going to keep Landon Young. Calvin Throckmorton was like the huge talking point going into this year of a guy that might have an opportunity to play, and he's been sitting in the system. And they kept him, you know, on the roster for a big part of last year. Will Klopp won't die. James Hurst was you know, signed in as a guy that's going to be there. I don't really want to talk too long about the offensive line, because I feel like people aren't really interested in, you know, the hogs inside. So
yeah.
Are there any one of those guys I just mentioned that stand out to you that you're thinking to yourself, no, this guy's going to be something for us? Like, I know James Hurst is going to be our rotational guy, but is there any of those other guys that stand out for you, or somebody that I didn't mention?
No one really, no. Like, I know there's Derek Kelly, Michael Brown, and Christian Montano, but like, those guys I haven't ever seen really, you know, play. So I can't comment on those guys at all. But Landon Young is interesting, though. I think that'll be an interesting, you know, future prospect for our team. But for this coming up season, I'm not sure he'll get too much, you know, field time. But James Hurst as a swing, you know, kind of guy, if we have injuries or whatever, is a nice little addition to the team that we had last year. So, yeah, nothing more to add to that. I think O-line is solid as long as they stay healthy.
I agree. So then we're going to step away from the offensive line. Fullback, we upgrade in fullback with a more athletic fullback in Alex Arma. You know, we have all heard the story about him, you know, beating up a burglar and armbarring him until the police show up. So he's got some MMA skills and he seems to have a mean streak, which is awesome. I think adding an athletic fullback to an already more athletic quarterback with Sean Payton's creativity is going to provide us with some pretty fun play calls in the backfield. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of teams use the fullback, so I would say Alex Arma is in the top echelon of the fullbacks that are being used in the NFL. You know, Kyle Juszczyk is probably the anomaly, the way mm-hmm. he stands out, because he just does so much more. Other than that, like, I think Alex Arma is probably right up there with the rest of the better fullbacks in the NFL. Do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. Rotating over to running back, Alvin Kamara. Again, we're just going to leave it at that. Alvin Kamara. If you're listening to this and you need any more explanation, you're listening to the wrong podcast. You're following the wrong team. Latavius Murray, surprise, no cut. They kept him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have a bigger role this year. And that goes back to my Cesar Ruiz comment of the offensive line being better and being able to run more. I think they're going to protect Jameis, especially at the beginning of the year. You know, they're going to protect him. And I think they'll protect him by using the run game quite a bit. And he's a bit of a hammer. And this is the mm-hmm. last year of his contract. Mm-hmm. So last year of a contract, a guy who was like, he was technically a stud, wasn't he, when he was with the Raiders? He was a stud.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, he was a stud. So a guy who's been a stud, stayed in the league, he kind of reminds me of like a Carmelo Anthony. You know what I mean? Like in that kind of reference point. Like he can still do it. He can still get out there and mm-hmm. do it. So I think he's going to do well for us. And I think he matches up really well for what this team is going to do this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just his size too. Like he's a huge running back, right?
So yeah.
When you have him and Alex Arma, you know, lined up together in a package like that, you kind of got to feel, you know, like there's lots of protection for Jameis back there too. So not only is the O-line going to keep him, you know, standing and upright, like these running backs and fullbacks we have together, him being as big as he is and the blocking kind of running back that he can be, man, that's a great advantage for Jameis Winston to have back there too. So
yeah.
I like Latavius Murray a lot.
Yeah, Ty Montgomery, I think, stays on the roster regardless because of his versatility. I think he earned himself a roster spot this year with that Carolina game. Being able to be so effective and being thrust into that moment and being able to shine, because he wasn't even supposed to get all the touches there. That was supposed to be Tony Jones who rolled an ankle. So I think Sean has fallen in love with Ty Montgomery, and it looks like he's a guy that works his tail off in the offseason. So barring an injury in preseason or camp, I think Ty Montgomery has a roster spot on this team. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree.
So then you have to pick here. Dwayne Washington, Tony Jones Jr., Stevie Scott III. You have to pick one of those guys because one of those guys is going to be a special team stud and a break glass in case of emergency option running back.
I think Dwayne Washington is already a special team stud, right? So it'd be hard to get rid of him. Plus, he's come in some spot duty in week 17 and week 16 when they needed him back in, two or 3 years ago. He looked like he was able to run up with the ball in his hand. And he doesn't ever get a chance to get more than probably 12 carries a year. But when he does have the ball, he still looks like he's an effective running back. And maybe he just needs a chance to have half a game where he can kind of get a chance to shine. But the Tony Jones Jr. prospect has intrigued me since we saw him at Notre Dame when he got him undrafted, right?
Yeah.
And looked a lot like Mark Ingram to me. So I'm curious to see how he looks in summer camp, and maybe he'll be like that little spark if he can outshine on special teams. But
yeah,
Stevie Scott, I'm not sure.
I know nothing. I know nothing of his work.
No, zero. Film on that guy for me. So
okay, so here's the $25,000 question. Taysom Hill's obviously going to be a backup. Is he a backup in the form of he's going to do less as a Saints player, like on the tight end front, wide receiver, slot wide receiver front, fullback front, running back front, gunner front? Is he going to do less of that stuff because he's focusing on this quarterback competition? Or is he going to accept his role and say, hey, listen, I'm probably not getting a starting job in the NFL. I've had my shot with a coach who fell in love with my skill set, and I didn't do a good job with it. I did an okay mm-hmm. job, but I didn't do a good job. Now, do I want to secure the bag and get myself another $35 million over 3 years or, you know, 26 million over 3 years, like in that realm, 26 to 35 million over 3 years with part of that guaranteed. Do I want to get that being a utility guy and just focus on all that other stuff? And then if my chance comes up to be a backup quarterback because Jameis gets hurt, then I step in. Is that the conversation you think that Taysom's having with himself and probably with his with Sean Payton?
I think so. I think you can't keep him off the field because of how productive he's been when he's on the field. Like, not in the role of quarterback, just in the role of, like, everything that he can do, like running the ball, catching the ball, like everything. And I feel like he's such a weapon. And he's just like a guy that brings such good energy to the team when he's on the field. And everyone's kind of cheering for him in all of his roles. And I think, like, if he's in all the rooms, like running back room, tight end room, receiver room, like, he's got all those guys that are always, like, on his side no matter what, right? Because he's working with them. He's learning with them. And I feel like if that is the guy that he is to all those players, you know, Sean won't want to, like, keep the energy away from the team, right? So I feel like he'll come to understand that, yes, I'm not going to be NFL, you know, quarterback for my ending in my career. So while I'm here and I have a coach who believes I can do all these things, I'm going to, you know, maximize my chances and hopefully get paid from that in like a unique kind of contract that might have some different incentives or elevators or whatever it is for receiving yards or, you know.
Yeah, I have a different take on Taysom. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm done now.
Sorry. My take on Taysom is this. He was an undrafted guy from Green Bay. They let him go. They cut him. And the minute he was cut, Sean Payton was at his house like, so you want to be a Saint? Because the Tim Tebow option was basically rejected by Tim Tebow. So Sean had this vision of this player who would be smart enough to be a quarterback, have some of the quarterback skills, but the body of a tight end and that had some athletic ability. Now, Taysom understood that he was going to be out of the league and or fighting for a practice squad spots, making, you know, per diem and maybe, what, $60,000 a year, you know, traveling all around the country trying to get onto a roster. He has now secured a life, not just money, wealth. He has secured wealth now for himself. I truly find him to be a guy who's extremely, like, he's humble. He has a sense of humility. I don't see him out there, like, you know, throwing negative banter out there about Jameis Winston or showing himself, you know, playing. Pause for a second. Sorry about that announcement there. You don't see him, you know, really out there exposing how he's working or who he's working with or all those different things because he's just humble. And if it falls and if it comes to him, it comes to him. And if it doesn't, then that's the way the chips fall. I think he actually believes that. So, I do think he's going to be okay with his role. I do think that this is all going to work itself out. And that kind of lends us into Jameis Winston. I'm not going to talk much about Jameis. I think Jameis has done all the right things. I think he has an unbelievable year. People forget that Jameis Winston was a number one overall pick that has thrown for 5,000 yards in the NFL just recently. I don't need to say anything else. He's not a Jamarcus Russell bust. He is a guy that took care of his body. He's gotten smarter. He's gotten more humble over the years. I'm excited for him to be our quarterback.
Yeah, me too. And I think just the fact that he took that $1 million contract last year, and he could have got paid elsewhere, but he knew that he was coming to a system that benefits a big arm quarterback if we have that. And just the offensive, you know, prowess of a Sean Payton and the intelligence of a Drew Brees. And it, obviously, the guy's planning his future properly to be the best he can be. And he wasn't going for money. He was going for, you know, for understanding and learning the game better. And if that's the 1 year he needed to make himself do that, and now he's going to get a full training camp with the ones, and he's going to get, you know, coached up every day by Sean, not just by Drew and whatever else. Like, it's gonna be a life changer for him. So I think both quarterbacks in our room right now,
all three,
made life changing decisions for themselves. Yeah. Like Taysom getting paid, and then Jameis, you know, taking almost $0 to play the quarterback position, but not really play it. And then
Ian Book, the most winningest quarterback at Notre Dame in history.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, false, yeah, so
There's a lot of good vibes in that room right now, and I think, like, you know, if Drew Brees is not just going to leave, like, he's going to be hanging around still. He'll be dropping in. I know he's got his Sunday night football prep he's going to be doing, but either through FaceTime or whatever they might use in the NFL, like, he'll be in contact with these guys at all times.
I fully agree. I think Drew's going to be there all the time. So I think Ian Book's going to beat out Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian's kind of like a career clipboard holder. Unless Ian Book's just not ready and Sean doesn't think he's ready, then they try to, you know, the phantom IR year for Ian Book. And then they keep Trevor Siemian as the number three. But again, we're talking deep down the roster. Let's go to a fun position here. Let's talk about tight end. Adam Troutman's going to get the keys to the car. I feel pretty good about Adam Troutman. You and I both marveled at the routes that he ran last year, especially in that Tampa Bay game where he just completely undressed. Was it Levante David or was it White?
It was Levante David.
Yeah, like he just put his pants on the floor. And I think that that's something that I'm really excited to see, you know, in full capacity now, not in spot duty. There's a couple of interesting tight ends, though. The Dylan Saner and the Ethan Wolf battle. Because both are pretty big guys.
They're both like 6'7", right?
They're both like mountains. So maybe Sean has something planned where he's going to keep five tight ends and run like, a crazy set with two tight ends. What are your thoughts of either of those guys making the roster?
Well, I think just like the potential for the size, because we know how much Sean values those big, tall, you know, receivers and tight ends. Like, it's been a staple in the offense for as long as he's been here. And hopefully this Dylan, you know, Sonar guy comes in and does what we think he can do based on his size and his, you know, potential. But Garrett Griffin, kind of, I feel like that might just be like a, like, he's going to be gone.
Yeah, he's gone. That's why I didn't bring him up. I don't think he makes the roster.
Ethan Wolf.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I haven't seen enough of him yet, of course. But like Nick Vanette, I don't know. Like, Adam Troutman better, you know, take Jared Cook's, you know, target share and utilize that for his advantage, because otherwise our tight ends, we can't really throw too many more of them, right?
Well, so, Nick Vanette's a bit of a reclamation project as well, right? Like, we got a couple of those reclamation products on our team. So, and Nick Vanette was at that tight end U. Did you see that? He attended?
Oh, did he go?
Yeah, he was.
I heard about that. I didn't see he was all there, though.
And apparently he was a pretty active guy there. He was getting some clout. So getting some shout outs for some people. So those two guys, Vanette and Troutman, they don't ring bells in your everyday NFL home. But they are two guys that I'm excited to see in a Sean Payton offense. And we're putting a lot on Sean Payton here, giving him a lot of credit here for how innovative his offenses are. But I do have a strong faith in that. So this has already gone a little bit longer than I want to, and obviously we're going to spend a lot of time on the DBs because the DB room and the defensive line room are going to be very fun to do. Wide receivers, I think that's a long conversation. I want to save it to the end. We started with Michael Thomas, but I want to save the wide receivers to the very, very end because there's so much to unwrap there. Man, this has been fun to do. We'll jump back in for those that are listening. Check in next time for the defense and the wide receivers version of this. Other than that, man, anything you got to say?
Nothing else. Just happy to be back on it. And then hopefully we can keep this more consistent and keep it going through the summer before training camp starts, because that's coming up sooner than we can wait for it. I'm looking forward to talking with you about more Saints, and hopefully people listen to it. And yeah, just keep on keeping on, man. It's been fun.
And the Saints got to give us some more news, man. So get us more excitement to get on this podcast and do some stuff.
Something. Give me something.
All right, man. Bring that wood. Have some fun. Keep life simple. Life is gravy. Life is great, my friend. Who dat?
Who dat, buddy?